Hey everyone, welcome to the City of Man podcast. My name is Coyle Neal, and today on the show we have a special Christmas crossover episode with the Sectarian Review. So without any further ado, let's dive in.
You're listening to the Christian Humanist Radio Network, christianhumanist.org.
Satan, your kingdom must come down.
And one of the primary ways in which Satan's kingdom comes down is through Christmas. Merry Christmas, everybody. This is Danny Anderson thanking you for listening to another episode of the Sectarian Review podcast. And I've got a double bonus Christmas double feature for you this year. We did one about Christmas Carol and Scrooge last week. And then this week, we're going to be talking about alternative Christmas movies. And joining me to talk about this today are two longtime friends of the show. Chris Maverick, I'm going to go by the order in which they appear on my chat here. Chris Maverick, how's it going?
I'm good. Hey, how's it going?
Good. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas to you. Chris
tomorrow. Yes.
Mav has been on the show many times, and he also, of course, co-hosts the Vox Popcast, another kind of co-conspirator show of ours. And speaking of co-conspirators, one of my primary ones is Coyle Neal from the City of Man podcast. Coyle, how's it going?
I'm just thrilled to be a primary co-conspirator. I don't know what that means, but I will take it.
It's something to do with your position at the Heritage Foundation, I think.
Man, I wish I had a position there.
I just assume that you do get paid by them to infiltrate my show, to sort of is sort of a CIA kind of black op sort of thing. So I guess I'm wrong about that, or you wouldn't tell me, I suppose, if I were right. So
high on their list of priorities is infiltrating the Christian Humanist Network.
Yes, that's probably true. Anyway, so, well, today, this show came to me. I've been wanting to do something like this for a couple of years. I don't remember whether it was last year we did the show about Hallmark, or was that 2 years ago? We did one about Love Actually 1 year, and I can't remember if that was last year or 2 years ago.
But I think Love Actually was your last year's show, because it's what made me go, I haven't watched Love Actually in like 5 years. I should watch this. So I believe that was last year. And I will say I liked it better than I remembered liking it. So hopefully we'll do that for other people today.
That is, I mean, I don't remember what I said on that show, of course, from a year
Neither
ago.
Neither do I. but it did make me watch the movie again.
But I will say that is every year my wife and I watch a series of movies, and that's one of ours. I remember seeing that in the theater with my wife, and we loved it immediately. And I think we've watched it every year since it came out, basically, at least once. And so, that is one of my Christmas movies that I watch that makes sense to watch as a Christmas movie, because it's like an overt theme of the movie, right? And so I've started thinking about this question every year. On social media, that is Die Hard a Christmas movie conversation comes up, right? And everyone has all these criteria to talk about what counts as a Christmas movie. And maybe it's just because I'm getting old and I'm just becoming grumpy about too many things, but just this conversation is getting so old to me. This point. And what I want to say at the beginning of the show is that whatever you like to watch around Christmas counts as a Christmas movie for whatever reason. This is sort of my claim I want to make, because I want to kind of run down a list, basically one response, and I have kind of some sub answers to this. Christmas itself is not a very simple concept, right? There's just on the basic level, every year there is secular Christmas and sacred Christmas, and the two have very little in common, really, other than the time that they happen together. Santa Claus and Jesus don't have much in common, frankly. And so just on that level, there's two different forms of Christmas, right? And then there's the fact that for some people, I mean, Christmas is a time of celebration. For some people, it's a time of sadness because of lost loved ones or whatever reason. And then when you throw in the complication of Advent, which is kind of this mourning period of waiting for the Messiah, right? I mean, I think there's room to make almost anything a Christmas movie. if you kind of attach it to that season. And I have, you know, a minor list of things here that I want to kind of talk about, things that I like to watch and why. But let me throw it out to you guys. Coyle, let me start with you for this response. And then, so what is your response to the question of what is a Christmas movie?
Well, let me answer your question with a question. Do you apply that to every other holiday? Like whatever you watch around Halloween, that counts as a Halloween movie.
Less
like
so,
if you watch the Care Bears movie on Halloween, you're like, that's my Halloween movie.
I think that's fine, honestly, in principle. I mean, I think less so just because Halloween is there's no sort of sacred version for Americans, most Americans, of Halloween, right?
Say, Halloween is specifically Halloween.
Yeah. I mean, there's, you know, All Saints and all that kind of stuff, right? But sure. I mean, we don't think of Halloween as a religious holiday, right? And Easter, for example, does Go ahead.
But there's not a subgenre of Easter movies, though, right? So I mean, it's not
other than just like passion plays, right? That's what you think of. Although I did write I did write something for Matt Brake over at Poppin' Theology that Pet Sematary is a great Easter movie, actually. So but
okay. I mean, I see where you went. Okay.
Sometimes dead is not better, right? And so but go ahead. So I'm willing to apply that broadly. I think less so for some holidays than for Christmas. I think Christmas is defined individually to more of a degree than other holidays are.
Right. And obviously I'm asking that on the side of the kind of secular version of Christmas, right? Not the religious version.
Yeah.
Because the other holidays either aren't religious or they don't have movies specifically associated with them. Like Easter would be one that there's not an Easter genre. Even the passion plays, there's, you know, 10 of those maybe. I mean, it's just not, Hallmark isn't going to do an Easter series.
Good Lord. What would that look like?
Now I'm curious if they have.
I did see on my channel guide there was a Hanukkah movie on Hallmark. I didn't.
Yeah, they've been trying, which I love actually. They've been trying hard. They've been trying hard to sort of mix other things, and that's sort of my question, because I'm thinking about the way Coyle phrased his sub question, right? And you have two choices if you have the secular version and the religious version. I would argue that for religious Christmas, there are comparatively few Christmas movies, right? Because it would have to be, if it's literally about religious Christmas, I wouldn't even count, a religious Christian film about Christmas in that thing. If it's religious Christmas, you're talking about a story of the birth of Jesus. And there are films that do that. There are films that follow the nativity, not very many of them, because we know that story, you know, like it's not very interesting. Like, I wouldn't call this is, I believe Passion of the Christ has like the young Jesus part in it, but I wouldn't call that a Christmas movie. I'm talking about the very specific cartoons that, you know, play right around Christmas. So I think the more interesting question has got to be the wider variety. I hate calling it just secular, because some of them are religious, but I'm not, but I don't want to say anything bad about the secular versions is either, right? But like we were talking, like Love Actually, which you did last year, I think that is very much a Christmas movie by anybody's terms. It is about 4 days around Christmas, or it starts, I think, on the 23rd or something. It's like, you know, it's literally a movie about a couple of days around Christmas. So I don't see how you don't count that. I don't see how you don't count Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer or any other Santa Claus movie as a Christmas movie. I would count much more of them. I'm very much on Team Die Hard as a Christmas movie, but it becomes like Coyle. You said, would you count anything? Because I don't know. If I say Valentine's Day movie, right, it's easy, right? I can say, well, this is a movie that my wife and I like watching, and our first date. That was a movie, not a very first date, but the first date that we went to a movie was the film Pleasantville. So we love that movie because it just reminds us of, you know, like I mean, we can't really recreate having dinner together the first time. I mean, we do that daily, right? But like, but we can literally do, okay, this is, we're going to watch this movie together. And so that feels romantic to us, but in a way that probably doesn't have any sort of romantic significance to, other than it's a romance, but like, it doesn't have any romantic significance to anybody else in the world.
Do you know what my wife and I's first date was? It's this really dark and disturbing Woody Allen movie called Deconstructing Harry.
Oh God.
I'm like, not really Valentine's Day material, but yeah,
sure.
We still laugh about
that. But I think that's like a good point though, because there are genres that are associated with Valentine's Day and genres that are associated with Halloween. Mm-hmm. Even if, you know, individually Danny has kind of a weird one that is outside the genre.
Mm-hmm.
You know, romantic comedies are kind of culturally appropriate for Valentine's Day in a way that I haven't seen Deconstructing Harry, so I can't say
it's a really good movie, actually.
I picked that. The first movie I watched with my wife, we didn't watch at the theater. That was the first movie we went to the movies to see together. But the first movie we watched together was, what's it called? I Know What You Did Last Summer, which is... and because she'd never seen... I mean, we started dating very soon after Halloween. In fact, I asked her out at a Halloween party. We'd met before, but so our anniversary, because we got married on the anniversary of our first date, is November 2nd. So it was literally, having been in a Halloween party, I had a Halloween party, and she's like, "Oh, well, I've never seen this movie," pointing to one that was on my shelf. Can I watch it? And I said, "Well, would you like to come over?" And you know, so that was literally our first date. So, but I wouldn't count that as, you know, having dinner. I guess I wouldn't count that as a Halloween. That's clearly a Halloween movie, right? Like it has nothing to do with Halloween. It has to do with summer, but it's a horror movie, and that's why it fit. So Christmas movies.
Another binary that you could use to ask the question whether it's sacred or secular, right? Mm-hmm. And I would say there are probably more sacred ones than you think. And I'll name one of mine here. Because I think Advent throws a major curveball at this question.
Okay.
And Advent to me is part of Christmas. And so, the other binary I was thinking of is there a movie that really only makes sense to watch around Christmas time, like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer or something like that, right? Sure. It doesn't make as much sense to watch it other times of year. I mean, I can't imagine watching the Ralphie movie. As many times I've seen A Christmas Story, I can't imagine wanting to watch it in March, right? Because I watch it all the time and around Christmas. And so,
it's one of my mother's favorite movies. So I've seen it many times throughout other parts of the year.
That's the most Cleveland movie ever, right? And
yes,
that's like,
which is,
yeah.
Exactly.
I found a picture of me and my dad. My dad, if you're not listening, recently passed away. If I missed some shows back in your feed, this is why. So I was digging through some stuff and I found an old picture of him holding me in the snow. And it looked like it right out of A Christmas Story. I looked like one of those boys, right? And so that's a movie that I can only really imagine watching around Christmas.
Okay.
And then there are other movies that I could imagine watching. One of the movies I'll talk about pretty much any time of year, even though it's one of my Christmas movies as well. But I'll talk about that later. Cool. You asked a question and spun us off onto that that tangent. Do you want to?
Oh, well, no. I mean, it was in response to your initial question. Although I am really curious as to what you think are Advent movies, because when I think of Advent movies, it's kind of like saying, "Well, this is our Lent movie." I'm like, that's a weird thing to have, Danny Anderson.
Well, for one thing, I think you have to have a sense of sadness, okay, and anxiety, in order to have an Advent movie, okay. And so I think with that as being a precursor or whatever. Another thing I wrote for Break a couple years ago was I wrote this thing about Tom Waits' song "Christmas Card from a Hooker in Minneapolis" as being the perfect Christmas song. and it's a great song, and it's Tom Waits, and I didn't even think to make something of the fact that his name is Waits, right? Waiting for the Messiah. I didn't even, that would have been a little hammy had I written that into that probably, but I didn't. Thank goodness. But there's something about that song that's like mournful, right? And I think that's the perfect kind of song to listen to in anticipation of the salvation that becomes possible around Christmas on the birth of Christ, right? And so for me, like a movie version of this that's actually perfect is Children of Men. If you've ever seen that really great kind of dystopian future movie about a world in which...
Yes, I have. I thought you must have been talking about something else. Okay.
Yeah. For those of you who haven't seen that movie, we should probably do a show about that movie sometime. It's so brilliant. That would be a great politics movie if you want to do that for City of Man sometime. And the title matches too. But the world is that for whatever reason, people have stopped giving birth, right? And so humanity is just dwindling down, basically, and all these kind of political controversies and riots start emerging in that space of panic. And miraculously, a prostitute becomes with child, and the plot of the story is trying to usher this child through the violence to this boat where they can be taken away, the boat that may or may not even be there, where they can be taken away to represent some sort of future for the world, right? For me, that's a perfect movie to think about Advent. And I think that P.D. James, who wrote the original story, is a Christian writer, and I think that she would have... probably had that in mind almost in that original story. So that to me is like a movie that is appropriate to Christmas, right? And for me, that's a Christmas movie because of its relatability, I suppose, to Advent, if that makes any sense. And
I mean, yeah, I mean, I see, again, and it's been a long time since I've watched that. But I know what it's about. I see the comparison. It's exactly the kind of argument that I would make in an English class. but I don't know, you know, if I'm taking a lit class and I want to make an argument, or if I want to do a paper at PCA or something, but in the general question of the way people sit there and say, it's Christmas, I'm going to watch Love Actually, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, and Die Hard, you know, because Christmas, it that feels even weirder for me to fit in, because it feels almost like we academically put it there. It doesn't feel as natural to me. I understand it's natural to you, because I'm going to agree with your original comment, which was anything that you want to watch at Christmas and is a Christmas movie. You know, end of show. I agree with that. But it's just, it's more that when you said it, and I was like, Children of Men. Well, he can't mean that movie. So there must be some other movie called Children of Men. I'm looking forward to hearing this. Oh, he is talking about Children of Men. Okay. it wouldn't have even occurred to me.
I mean, only because of the Advent. I mean, this is a movie you watch in anticipation of the season, right? And I'm not saying it's an exact... Sure, this is not a didactic representation of the Christ story, right? This is sort of something that opens up the conversation about the role of saving the world through a child, right? And I think that's how I'm thinking.
Would you have that conversation, though, if you weren't an English teacher and didn't have a podcast, right? Like, is that the kind of thing where... Well, no, I'm serious, though.
I think I have a podcast and am an English teacher, because I would have that kind of conversation. And that's why I ended up doing what I do.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And I mean, that's kind of the way I see the world. I interpret the world through stories. I mean, this is just the way I've always lived. And so I kind of see parallels in things like this all the time, and it helps me understand reality. what I write tends to have a rather, I'm sure most people think it's a stupid formula, but basically it's this, right? It's sort of interpreting the world through stories. I think for me, it's a natural, it's probably the reason I'm able to pass as an English professor. For those who aren't really paying attention. So, Coyle, again, you're thinking about things.
Yeah, and I'm sorry, we're still derailed on this, aren't we?
No, it's good. That's what the point of the show is.
Yeah, so yes, I think in a in a technical sense, you're right. I mean, obviously, it's your TV, it's your stream. You know, you can stream whatever you want to stream, and you can put whatever DVD player in the DVD you want to play on December 25th. So yeah, technically anything is a Christmas movie, but to speak like that is to not be speaking to the rest of the culture.
Mm.
Because you posted on Facebook earlier, stack of movies that I don't even remember what the comment was, but you're like, I hate it when people criticize other people's favorite movies. And these were a bunch of kind of a mix of awful movies and great movies. But this is where I'm getting you. If someone were to pull a movie off that and say, every Christmas day, I watch Boondock Saints, just to lose, or Scarface.
That's the one that I noticed.
This is a great movie, right? But if someone were to say, every Christmas day, my Christmas movie is Scarface, by your definition, that's fine. But everyone else in the culture is going to say, that's weird, man.
The mountain of cocaine represents snow, right?
Right. It's all about waiting, right? You're waiting on that last scene. So I think, yeah, yes, yeah, watch whatever you want on Christmas, but there is still something that is meant when people say Christmas movies, and it has to do with Santa's in it, it has to do with, it's set around Christmas, and it has to do with certain themes.
And maybe I'm somewhere in between, because I don't think anybody ever questions you if you say, my favorite movie is A Christmas Story. It's in the title.
Yeah.
Okay. Christmas movie, right? Or Rudolph, right? People go, I get that. I think particularly, I mean, I tease Danny about, you know, you're an English teacher with a podcast. You need content, right? And I do the same thing, right? So as this coil. So fine. I get that. But I think that in the world where, particularly now post COVID, where everyone's interaction is just typing at each other on Facebook, Twitter, or whatever, right? But like, we, in a world where we have conversations now through media, we need things to talk about. But even before that, I think that we're not just saying Christmas movie because you got mom, dad, the kids, the wife, whatever. It's not like, it's Christmas time, let's watch Rudolph. If you're saying, this is my Christmas movie, you're doing that as a conversation starter, right? So if I say my favorite Christmas movie is Scarface, and then somebody says, why? And I go, I don't know. That's not interesting. If I say it, it's because I want to have that discussion, right? So like, if I say my, and this is where this all came about, is in the last several years, people have been doing the, is Die Hard a Christmas movie? Yes or no, right? And I very much think it is. And not just because it happens at Christmas, I think, because for me, what makes it a Christmas movie is that the element of Christmas is specifically germane to the plot. So for me, Die Hard's a Christmas movie. Rudolph's a Christmas movie. The Ref is not a Christmas movie because it happens on Christmas Eve, but just conveniently, right? Like, Die Hard doesn't work if it's not Christmas. The entire plot requires it to be Christmas in order for him to be there, right? The other Die Hard movies, no. The Batman Returns, it's Christmas during that movie, but it doesn't matter. It's only Christmas because it is, right? Shane Black movies, it's half and half. So, you know, all of his movies are at Christmas time. Maybe they matter, maybe they don't, right? So for me, that's what I mean. But even that's not, it's not a rule that matters to anybody other than me, because I need something to say on a podcast or on a blog, or, you know, like, I mean, so I, but I think that's a good thing. I'm teasing myself now, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But I think that the reason we care about what's a Christmas movie is that it gives us, you know, it allows us to have that academic conversation with our friends, not in a classroom, right? It allows us to go, you know, like, I mean, you joked, but if you really are going to make the pitch that Scarface is a Christmas movie, I'm going to sit down and go, oh, I need to hear this, you know? Like,
Right. And that's sort of the difference between saying that this is a Christmas movie because I watch it on Christmas versus this should be considered a Christmas movie by everyone. Right. Those are different pitches.
And right. I guess what I would say is I watch certain movies around Christmas because they are associated with it, either in that they help me kind of process the time, the period that I'm living through, or for some other reason. This is a side conversation. our household, me and my family and the girls, we have a little tradition of watching the Lord of the Rings movies over Thanksgiving week. Okay.
Okay.
And that's mostly because that's when we have the time to get through 12 hours of movies. Right.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. And so, I mean, but that's really why we kind of, select that as the time to do that. And it has like religious overtones that help us kind of, think about those kinds of things. Right. But for the Christmas side of it, I guess, I mean, yeah, for me, Advent is an important part of Christmas, and the idea of a world of 400 years of silence being broken by the birth of the Messiah, I mean, that's not something I want to kind of skip over. And so a movie like Children of Men, mm-hmm. I think, works really well as far to kind of get my even though I'm not talking to anybody about this, that's the first time I've said that out loud to anybody. But even if I'm not like talking to anybody else about this, this is sort of an experience of mine that I like to do. Now, we just moved houses, and so my Christmas viewing is all screwed up this time. But yeah, in a normal year, I would have this sort of thing, and maybe a Tarkovsky movie, just because it's slow and requires you to think, you know what I mean? And that kind of thing. Maybe something like Stalker then could be something that's seasonally appropriate just for the contemplative like notion of it. So that's all I meant by it. But mm-hmm. even so, I think, Mav, that you're like, you're defining Christmas in some ways. Like, for The Ref to not be a Christmas movie, it's because of a certain definition that you've settled on about Christmas.
But it's a definition that I settled on for me. So I was actually, when you asked me to do this episode, I was talking with some friends of mine, you know, online, because again, it's 2020 and no one has in-person friends anymore. but people were giving me, it's like, well, what about, cause I thought, all right, well, Die Hard is obvious, right? Everything that Shane Black has done, because I was thinking, what's outside of the box, right? Like, obviously Rudolph, obviously, and everybody, you know, and I was like, Die Hard, Shane Black movies, those are all obvious. Batman Returns, which I think no, even though it's Christmas time, mm-hmm. no. Then somebody said, well, okay, obviously the Home Alone ones are. That's too obvious for you. And it's like, see, I don't think so. Home Alone is Christmas time, but they could have left him there during any family vacation, right? Like, the entire concept is, oh, it's Christmas, we're going off, and oh, we forgot Kevin, right? But like, to me, Home Alone's not really a Christmas movie. It just, if they were going on July 4th vacation, the exact same thing would have happened, right? Like, it just happens to be Christmas. It would have been different booby traps because there would have been no ice outside, but to me, that didn't count. But if somebody tells me Home Alone, it's a movie about leaving a kid home on Christmas on July, like, if somebody says that's their definition, I'd be like, yeah, okay, obviously. So it's only interesting in as much as I think, you know, again, the academic exercise or pseudo-academic exercise, because it's not in an actual class, of having this conversation with friends.
Yeah. What do you think about Home Alone? I just watched that last night with the kids. Like, Coyle, what do you think about that?
It's a great movie.
But I mean, don't you think of it as a Christmas movie? I mean,
yeah, it's been a while since I've seen it. I'm again, it's keeping in mind, it's been a while since I've seen it, but I thinking over it, some of it, I don't know that it would have worked as well as like a 4th of July movie, in part because, you know, who cares if you're not with family on the 4th of July?
He's like nine. I mean, whatever.
But that's certainly true. But there's also that element of, yeah, it's scary because it can be dangerous because he's a kid and because there's robbers and so on. But there's also the element of, it's Christmas and family is not going to be together. It's I guess you could do that with like Thanksgiving. But you start getting into something of Valentine's Day. I mean, I don't know that I've seen my parents on Valentine's Day since. Maybe not even high school. I don't know. So, there are some holidays that are more family related, mm-hmm. and Home Alone sort of taps into that. And of course, there's the church stuff in Home Alone too. I might be mixing up one and two, like the one where he's in New York.
The church is in the first one. Yeah, that's where he goes and has the conversation with the old man.
Okay.
While they're singing Christmas carols, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And there's this long conversation about it's Christmas and your family, and
yeah,
I don't remember the details, but I remember that being part of it. That just, I don't know that it would have worked quite as well if you pulled it out of that context. Again, Thanksgiving maybe would have been fine. Mm-hmm. Given that in most dealing with the secular side of Chinese definition, the substance of Christmas is basically non-existent, right? It's family and it's giving and it's happiness. And then the viewer is allowed to kind of fill into that whatever. And that's what helps it work and makes it last over time. But there you're certainly not dealing with anything of substance.
And it's outside of work, right? I mean, people are off work in these movies, at least. Like, I know lots of people have to work on Christmas. Yeah.
What do you do with Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, which is specifically a Thanksgiving movie? And if you haven't seen it in a long time, like most people will remember it as, oh yeah, that Christmas movie, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Holiday. It's not.
He's specifically trying to get home in time for Thanksgiving. And it's just that, like, if you didn't watch it this year, you know, you've probably forgotten. It's just like, oh, I've got to get home for the holidays is what it is. But they could have transposed it to Christmas completely easily for exactly the reason Quayle just said. It's about trying to be with your family. But, for the holiday.
But again, we're getting into definitions of Christmas in American culture, largely because of like economic activity, the you know, need to sell things to people, has extended Christmas all the way through Thanksgiving. So Thanksgiving is like a precursor holiday. It's really part of the holidays, which is why I think it's fine to say happy holidays, because I'm really talking about five different things when I say, I'm not just talking about Christmas, right? And so.
Yeah, we did a show pretty much anything after Halloween is this corridor of, you know, Halloween through the beginning of January is when that's appropriate. And we've extended that to the holiday for America.
And if I can make a recommendation, go ahead, Quayle.
Culturally, the only Thanksgiving Christmas difference that I'm aware of is football.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's basically your line.
True.
So family and football, or family and no football. And family and presents, family and football.
And basketball, yeah. Yeah.
There's football and Christmas frequently, actually.
if I can make a recommendation on these lines, Rodney Crowell, I'm always talking about Rodney Crowell on Quayle's show, and I will again on mine. He has a great Christmas album from a couple years ago called Christmas Everywhere, and it's like an sarcastic like takedown of consumerism. And it's brilliant, actually. And so I highly recommend wherever you listen to music and listen to Christmas Everywhere by Rodney Crowell. It's amazing. And going back to Home Alone, though, I think that movie is, I mean, I think Christmas, I don't know if this helps my argument or hurts it, but in some ways Christmas is incidental to the contemplation about family reunification. Okay. I think Christmas is a natural space to set that in because of this idea of like, how we associate Christmas with family time, right? From the beginning of that movie, they're terrible to each other. They're all awful people. We remember Uncle Frank being bad, but he's like, honestly, him and Buzz are like the least awful of all everybody else. Right. And like they're terrible people. And then the separation is what kind of, makes the meaning of the movie, the quest to overcome the separation on the mother's part is what makes that movie kind of meaningful. And so in that way, I think it is sort of this idea of closing the gap of separation between man and God, in this case, between family members, right? And the old man, I think, is the only thing that makes that movie work. Without him in that movie, I don't think the movie works. And without that scene in the church when they're listening to Christmas carols. So I really can't see that any other time other than, we will watch Home Alone 2, even though it is a masochistic nightmare. Like that movie, it's like, that movie is a nightmare of a movie. Right. And that's even before thinking about Donald Trump having an appearance in it. Right. And so, it is a total like horror film version of Home Alone. I would say that. And I guess since I brought it up, horror films are something else that, I mean, there is a long tradition of Christmas horror films, right?
Yes.
Black Christmas is a great movie, right? And recently Krampus has entered my kind of watching season. Krampus is a really great horror film and a great comedy, but it's also a really fantastic opportunity to think about the holiday, right? And I think that's for me what makes something a good Christmas movie. And so those are a couple of sort of alternative Christmas movies.
I would count Gremlins there. Gremlins I think is Gremlins Christmas is, by my rule, absolutely germane to the plot. It can't, that movie doesn't work any other holiday.
Yes, Gremlins is great, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a great movie. And it
needs the consumerism. It needs the family aspect. It needs to be, you know, Gizmo needs to be a present in order for it to work. The greatest part of Gremlins is, I've realized this over time. This is the English teacher in me, right? The English teacher podcaster in me is the scene where she explains why she hates Christmas because her father died in a chimney seems so weird and off-putting to me when I watched that the first time when I was like 8 or 9 or 10, however old I was when Gremlins came out. And now as an adult who does this for a living, and I go, oh yeah, that makes the movie. That is literally, she just explained the entire breakdown of Christmas as a consumerism holiday. And not her father literally died, but she's explained the death of the family and the loss of meaning. And I'm just like, and that scene to me makes Gremlins. And I was like, yes. And then you think, but her dad's trapped in a chimney. That's horrible. But still, it's a movie. And to me, so Gremlins, I think, is a perfect Christmas movie.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so Mav, let me throw this question out to you, and then we'll have Coyle follow it up. What are some other movies for you that other people don't think of or might resist considering as a Christmas movie, and you have to convince them of it?
Yeah. See, I was trying to watch a bunch this week, trying to figure out I came to the conclusion that Batman Returns didn't count.
Okay.
Because even though I love Batman Returns, I don't feel like Christmas matters for that, other than the fact that they have a Christmas party they go to. Right. Mm. Go was interesting in that I think that could have been any holiday, but like there's such a theme of, it's weird, there's a theme of togetherness throughout it, and sort of, I mean, there, I don't know if you've ever seen it, it's a Pulp Fiction-y kind of kids at a rave. It starts Katie Holmes.
I never saw it, but I remember the poster for it. Yeah.
The plot is it's a bunch of stuff that happens to these kids on Christmas Eve. And they are a makeshift family, but it's very much a Pulp Fiction kind of movie, but there's an undertone of Christmas that pervades it. And that's the one where I was really torn. I watched it again this weekend and I'm like, it is Christmas. Would this movie, and it's Christmas, I don't remember where they are, they're like in LA or something, so there's no snow or anything, right? It's they're in driving distance of Vegas, I don't remember, so it's probably LA. That's part of the film, and you watch it and you go, I don't know that this works any other time, just because as goofy as it is, as weird drug culture, rave culture, murder culture as this film is, the idea that it's Christmas continues to pervade the entire film, to where in much like Die Hard, right? Like, yeah. where I feel like Die Hard requires Christmas. Die Hard 3, 4, 5 aren't the same. Die Hard 2 is literally a rehash, but like the other movies don't have the same kind of theme that Die Hard does. Mm. So like, so that's why I feel like Die Hard counts. Die Hard needs to be Christmas or it doesn't work. Scrooged, obviously, all of the Christmas Carol remakes.
Mm.
So
you have an aesthetic requirement then. It has like in terms of the story itself, mm-hmm. has to have Christmas as essential, in order for it to be a Christmas movie.
And I leave the form of Christmas largely blank, right? Does it have to be religious Christmas? Obviously not. Die Hard, I think, is a wonderful Christmas movie. Does it have to be consumerism Christmas? Obviously not. Other than buying the bear, and in Die Hard, very little of it has to do with in Die Hard, Christmas means I want my family back. It's this man's struggle to get his family back. And it's odd. I'm having trouble explaining why that doesn't fit for Home Alone, because obviously he wants
the same plot.
Well, it is. Die Hard, Home Alone, RC plot. But to me, the difference is, bombs and all aside, Die Hard is the film about trying to reunite his family. And I have no kids, so I see why to you guys, Die Hard, I mean, Home Alone might be that same film. But to me, Home Alone is a film of being terrified because your parents have abandoned you. It's not a, like, yes, it happens to be on Christmas, but like none of that has ever mattered to me in that movie. To me, what matters is I'm nine, and you know, I'm sure I thought I was grown up when I was nine, but that's how old he is. I think he's nine. And if my family literally left when I was 9 years old, and like I was all alone and had to defend the home from burglars, that would be terrifying.
Yeah.
You know, like
Home Alone is also for me about the failure of the proletariat to overcome the bourgeoisie. And so it's a tragedy. It's a tragedy.
That's just Marxism.
Coyle, what are some movies for you? And give me some justifications for them.
Yeah, just to briefly add on to your Christmas horror movies. There's a movie called Santa's Sleigh.
Okay.
It is exactly as high quality as the title sounds. But it's also, if you like B movies and horror movies, it's pretty phenomenal. So,
is Santa Claus like a villain basically? Or
yeah, the premise is Santa Claus was a demon who lost a bet with an angel, so he had to take presents to good kids for 1,000 years, and now the 1,000 years are up, and he's got like this 1,000 years of like pent up wanting to do awful things.
That is an amazing premise.
I need to see that.
It opens with Santa Claus. I don't think this counts as a spoiler because it's the first scene, but Santa Claus shows up and kills Fran Drescher and James Caan are the family that get it first.
So, how have I never heard of this movie? That's incredible.
I think it might be a Canadian film, so that may be why. I'm going to end up on Team Die Hard, and Mav got in ahead of me on all the good stuff there. Although I will say that the difference between Die Hard and Home Alone, or a difference between Die Hard and Home Alone, I think is the role of sacrifice for the reconciliation of the family, right? John McClane is clearly willing to work and fight and suffer so that his family can be reconciled, and Kevin McAllister is doing that, but that's not why he's doing it. If that makes sense.
Kevin has no options. John doesn't have to be there. He's like, oh, well, it's my ex-wife. Oh, well, all right, bye. You know, right. Kevin has no choice. They're going to kill him if he doesn't, you know. Or at least
presumably he could have, you know, called the police or run away or something. But, so I think there is a mild difference. But I'm still willing to say Home Alone's a mm-hmm. Christmas movie. I'm on that team. Yeah, so Die Hard was where I was gonna double down on everything, but I think you hit most of the points. I mean, it is, I think thematically and in terms of obviously when it's set, it's pretty solidly a Christmas movie. And I'm sort of with Matt on that. There is something that sets Christmas movies apart, and we can argue that there are other movies that also fit that criteria that should be included, and mm-hmm. that's fine. We could argue that about each movie.
Last Boy Scout is one of my favorites. Mm-hmm. Again, Shane Black, all of his films are Christmas for reasons. But like, Last Boy Scout, also starring Bruce Willis, to me feels Christmassy more so than the Lethal Weapon movie. So again, it feels that way. But Last Boy Scout, I don't think most people have seen. You go see Last Boy Scout; it's great. Bruce Willis,
it is. I think the Lethal Weapon movies are great too, though. I would also include. Mm-hmm. I should have rewatched these. Whether I don't remember if I'm thinking of the first one or the second one. I guess it must be the first one, where the reconciliation is an internal one for Mel Gibson, for whatever
the first
his name
one
is.
Internal. Second one is when they bring in Rene Russo, I think.
Yeah, or the third one. I don't remember.
There's like 18 of them, and they all bleed together now. I think it's like, but, five.
But it's also
you're getting too old for this stuff. Sorry.
Right? So it's Riggs and Murtaugh.
Uh-huh.
It's Riggs internally, but it's also Riggs and Murtaugh, and then Murtaugh's family.
Yes.
So Riggs is healed and gets a family, which again,
yeah, I was gonna say, Lethal Weapon is literally, I think what makes Lethal Weapon work is the same thing that makes Planes, Trains, and Automobiles work, right? It is fit or go for the movie that I mentioned before that nobody's seen but me, but it is at Christmas, your family is who you choose it to be, right? He's not, yes, he's lost his wife. He's not alone. he has the Murtaugh family, and he didn't know that, but that's, you know, your family was here all along. You know, right. Bang, 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 bang.
And he's not the sort of person who can be with them, right, without being a danger to himself or to others. So, yeah, I'm on Team Die Hard for sure, and Lethal Weapon is my other.
I'm fascinated by the direction this is going, and I guess I agree with you on all these points, but so much of it is assigning family as essential to Christmas, right? And that is what defines a Christmas movie. One of the ones I was going to talk about that we always watch around Christmas, and there's a scene or two that is around Christmas. It's like a year-long story. It's called About a Boy with Hugh Grant. It's one of my five favorite movies. I saw that on an airplane going to Europe once, and I can't remember when, but it must have just come out. And I've loved it ever since. And we watch it around Christmas time. And I think for this reason, it's about the assembling of community, right? And so for me, that is a Christmassy theme as well. But and now it's got me wondering, like, what about people who are sort of like called to singleness and or whatever reason or for whatever reason are single? I mean, are these that wouldn't count as a Christmas movie the way they experience Christmas then, right?
I mean, they can still have families, Danny.
Yeah, and which I think is the point of the film. It's we say the word family, but I think that was a convenience, right? Like, do I have a family? I have no children. I have my wife. So, to the extent at which we're a family, honestly, isn't any different since our marriage for the 10 years we lived together before. Like, fundamentally, we bought the house before we. So fundamentally, there's. I mean, I don't want to get into. I love her more than the people who are just dating. No, it's literally like our family is what we make of it, right?
And yes.
I see. Well, not this year, but typically I'll see her literal family, her mother, father, brothers, and sisters on Christmas Day, and around there I'll also see a bunch of very close friends of mine who we go to visit and stuff. And I think that like. I think that is what the Christmas stories, I don't mean the film, that's what they really are. It's the family of, this is the holiday in which we share with each other in a way that I don't think, sure, if you are truly a single solitary person, then the only way you can make, like, that's not a very interesting movie to just have one guy sitting there. It's got to be the interaction.
Well, and yeah, I guess I want to amend what I said before then. You guys have like talked me out of that. It's more about community writ large, right? And so I think that extending our definition of family to these other people, right? And I think that is something that is sort of universal. And I think that's one reason I'm drawn to About a Boy, for example, right? It's about this assembling of a community that doesn't seem to fit together very well, but because of the circumstances of the movie, that it does. And so, yeah, that works for me. And it actually, but for those people who don't have that, especially this year, I mean, Christmas is going to be a painful time. Like, you're deprived of that thing, right? And so this is my older alternative movie, The Thing. This is a great Christmas movie for a group of people who are, like, isolated together in the winter, right? In the most winter that you can have on Earth, right? Like, there's this distrust among the community because of this alien menace, right? And so to me, it's like a Christmas in the negative, right? But in the negative, you can sort of see the positive, the possibility of the positive. So The Thing, John Carpenter's version of it. Although I'm a huge fan of the original Thing from Another World, too. I think that's just a perfect movie. I love that movie. And so both of them, and me and my youngest daughter, we like to watch that movie together periodically as well. So I might talk her into that this break too. Go ahead.
What happens to the family in that movie, Danny?
In The Thing?
What happens to the community in that movie?
That's my point. Right. It's this is a movie to sort of experience the sadness of someone without the community. Right. And so that's what I'm saying. It's about the negative. Yes. They all do blood tests on each other. They do their COVID tests and then they eat each other, right? So
oddly enough, just looked up June 25th, 1982. So 6 months out of phase with Christmas, exactly.
Yeah. Oh, interesting. The negative of Christmas. Oh my god.
Hey,
I didn't know that. I just was curious, so I just checked.
That's so funny. Yeah.
I will echo your endorsement of that movie. Not as a Christmas movie necessarily, but as a great movie.
It's a phenomenal film.
The book and short story it's based on are also both really, really excellent.
Is it called Who Goes There, I think?
Short story is by John Campbell, and that might be what it's called. The book is called At the Mountains of Madness by H.P. Lovecraft.
Oh,
okay.
Is that really?
I don't know that.
Yep.
I had no idea that that was a source.
Campbell ripped off Lovecraft. I think he gave him credit in the original magazine it came out in. Huh. And then it took off in film. So, yeah.
Oh, that's fascinating. I love Lovecraft. It makes perfect sense that now that I know that, but I never made that connection.
It's not like a one-to-one, like you won't be like, oh, this is clearly the thing, but there's a genealogy there that's pretty solid.
Hmm. Oh, that's interesting. That's cool.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, yeah, I guess what I want to say is, I'm resisting like categorically correct answers to this question, right? And I think that's sort of the point that I want to make. I think there is a way to kind of make many movies into holiday appropriate movies because of the expansiveness with which we can define Christmas and what it sort of means and the way in which those kind of themes play out. And so this has been a really fun conversation for me. I don't want to wrap it up too soon if you guys have more to say, but I think I've had my piece.
I'll ask you, are you really willing to say there are no movies that can't fit into this?
No. I don't mean to say it that way. I'm sorry if I misspoke.
Someone comes along and is like, hey, Danny Anderson, my Christmas movie of choice is, I don't even know what, fill in the blank. And your response is never going to be, you're insane. That's crazy talk.
Well, I mean, I think that there are better and worse arguments for things, right? And so if someone can give me a good argument, and I just thought of one, that the Hannibal Lecter franchise is good for... I can buy that. I recently had a text conversation with my pastor who brought up this idea that, and I swear I've heard this before, and I'm sure other people have talked about this. This is a theological question, whether the presence of Jesus in a feeding trough is something to kind of predict his body being consumed in the communion. I think that's compelling, and therefore any kind of cannibal movie makes sense to me as a as a Christmas movie. Well, and I, you know, my former pastor of mine, Yuri Amari, back in Cleveland, he always made a point to connect Christmas and Easter, and I thought in ways, I mean, I didn't always love it, but I was always challenged by it, I think. And so I do think that, yeah, the beginning and end of Jesus's life do sort of are matched, right? And I do think that there's something to think about in that way. So, yeah, I guess that's a diversion to your question, though, from your question.
As another diversion, just really quick, because when you mentioned we were talking Easter earlier, I did look, and Hallmark does have a Hallmark Easter movie. They only have one movie in the category so far, but they have a film called Easter Under Wraps, which I have not seen. But looking at the picture, it looks exactly like all of their Christmas movies, well, except for it happens to be Easter instead. So.
Yeah. Well, and I make the point about Hallmark movies. I mean, from a religious standpoint, those are like the least sacred movies that you could
intentionally
make.
So. Yeah, that's actually in their mission statement for making them.
Right. That's my point.
The entire point of them is to make, and which I agree with. It is the, and this is why they've started doing Hanukkah ones as well, right? Yeah. They are trying to specifically. They're not very consumerish. Again, we're plugging my show. We just did a whole episode on this. It's not so. They tend to be movies about good people doing good, and by making it too religious, they sort of pigeonhole themselves, right? So, like, they're trying to create this message of Christmas is a time for your family. In whatever form that takes, and they tend to be very multicultural, right? Your family to get together and share and love, and it is very, very intentionally we don't want to say that Christmas can't be for Jewish people. We don't want to say that Christmas can't be for atheists. We don't want to say that Christmas can't be for Muslims, because Christmas is this time in which we love.
Christmas is this time in which people who can afford it can have beautiful lives. That's the Hallmark mission. And they can pitch it in like ecumenical terms, but it's really about consumerism, right? And so I think that those movies are completely devoid from the religious definition of Christmas. And like I said, I'm okay with that. I think that there are many ways to view Christmas as a season, right? But from that perspective, I think Children of Men is a much more appropriate Christmas movie because of its religious overtones, right? About the birth of a Messiah. I think that it's much more Christmassy than any Hallmark movie will ever be based on that.
I'm doing this right now, I have to recommend a film I just reviewed, Dolly Parton's Christmas at the Square. It is the most amazing thing that you've ever seen. Everyone should watch it. And sorry, once you do.
Everyone loves Dolly.
Dolly's amazing. again, if you want to talk about the religious overtones and undertones, there is an entire, we glossed over it on my show because we were doing 22 different Christmas movies on that episode. There is, I could do a 500 episode podcast analyzing Dolly Parton's Christmas at the Square. There is so much going on. Dolly might be the god of that universe. It's not clear to me. That's part of it. Like she's definitely at least an angel. That's by plot. She might actually be God. There's Messiah parallels. One of the main characters is a pastor. It's 90 minutes of the most insane. Dolly has a message that she is sharing. And I'm not quite clear what it is yet because it needs to be dissected for 500 episodes. There's so much going on. Recommendation for your listeners.
Oh, that's amazing. That is amazing. I will look at it. And Netflix has a whole slew of Christmas, its own version of Hallmark movies now, right? So Christmas entertainment is something that is manufactured for all of us now, right? And so mm-hmm. I think it's interesting to create your own Christmas experience through these things, right? Through these things that may not seem, that you have to make a case for. And Coyle, back to your original question, I do believe that it's possible someone could make a bad case and I won't buy it, right? But I hold open the possibility that I might be surprised sometimes. So,
Plan 9 from outer space.
I mean, Lord knows I've made plenty of like logical leaps in my life, right? That don't hold water, right? I own my own kind of failings in that way. I do think that it is possible that you have a bad reason. Although, when I threw in the caveat about just having the time to get through something, then I mean, I suppose that makes anything possible at that point. Well, fellas, do you have any last words for this episode? That didn't mean to be ominous there. This is how sectarian view ends.
Yeah, I was thinking more like, you know, the parallel to the thing. This is the point where Danny eats us. You know,
we're sitting freezing in the snow waiting to see if we turn. Yeah. Oh, that's funny. No, I'm definitely going to watch The Thing this week now that we've talked about it again. Thanks again, guys. This has been a lot of fun for me. I expected an open-ended conversation. I really appreciated the insights you brought to this. This has been a lot of fun. In the new year, I've been really busy here since the end of the semester recording a bunch of episodes, a couple of them that are in the can already that you can look forward to on the Sectarian Review podcast is an episode about the Jerry Jeff Walker album Viva Terlingua. And Coyle, I need to apologize to you publicly. Michael Farmer and his dad, Mike Farmer, and I sat down and talked about that in the wake of Jerry Jeff's death, and I felt like I was cheating on you about halfway through. I'm like, why didn't we invite Coyle to this conversation? It just didn't come to mind. I apologize for that.
I don't know who that is, so you're okay.
We do those country music shows for City of Man, and I felt like I was an adulterer, a podcast adulterer. And then I had a really great conversation with this English Baptist pastor who works in horror named Peter Laws, and that was a really fantastic conversation. I'm going to be talking to Ed Simon about the minimalist style of writing. There's all sorts of things to look forward to in the new year. I've got a lot of stuff set up for y'all. So thank you for listening this past year. I know I missed a few episodes because of some personal situations of my own. I appreciate your patience. And thank you to Coyle and thank you to Mav for joining me for this episode about Alt Christmas. And I wish everybody a happy holiday. Happy Merry Christmas, however you want to say it. Enjoy it. Take care.
Well, thank you, listeners, for tuning in to the City of Man podcast. The City of Man is part of the Christian Humanist Radio Network. Our press liaison is Kristen Filippic. Please check out the other podcasts in our family and get more information about this show or our show notes by visiting ChristianHumanist.org. Please also leave us a review on iTunes to help other people find our show, like our Facebook page at Facebook.com/City of Man Podcast, or get in touch with us at CityofManPodcast@gmail.com. This is Coyle Neal reminding you to render unto Caesar those things that are Caesar's, and render unto God those things that are God's.
This land is your land, and this land is my land, from the California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters. This land was made for you and me. As I went a-walking that ribbon of high